Through the Roots and Tomorrow's Bad Seeds, this multi-generational lineup brings together international reggae ambassadors, SoCal legends, and rising voices in modern roots music for a full night of live performances. The concert will be held at the Mayan in Los Angeles on September 13th, with doors opening at 4 p.m. More information and tickets available at universe.com and kpfk.org.
Hello, and you are listening to Eco Justice Radio, a project of SoCal 350 Climate Action. Our show presents environmental and climate stories from a social justice frame, featuring voices not necessarily heard on mainstream media. Eco Justice Radio acknowledges that we record the show on the traditional territory of the Tongva. Welcome. I'm Jessica Aldridge. On today's show, we are discussing revitalizing Detroit, one hive at a time. I will be interviewing Timothy Paul Jackson and Nicole Lindsay, co-founders and co-executive directors of Detroit Hives. Timothy Paul Jackson and Nicole Lindsay are both lifetime Detroiters. Their nonprofit organization, Detroit Hives, works to create sustainable communities and bee populations by transforming vacant lots into pollinator-friendly spaces. Nicole is devoted to altering negative stigmas about bees by informing people of their crucial roles and benefits to the environment. She also teaches children about apiology. Timothy comes from a background of photography and advertising. He is focused on making Detroit a bee city by repurposing vacant land into pollinator habitats. The overarching goal is to improve the quality of life not only for native plants and insects, but for the surrounding community. Urban bee farms of Detroit are not only rebuilding honeybee populations, they're also rebuilding the city and uplifting the community. Since 1950, 61% of Detroit's population has moved away in hopes of better opportunities. Whole neighborhoods in the inner city have been abandoned, leaving overgrown lots and social issues for those who choose to stay. Detroit has gone from one of the United States' most prosperous cities to one of its most distressed due to financial mismanagement, leadership failures, and a car industry in peril. 30% of the residents live below the poverty line. However, Detroit is currently experiencing a bright transformation. Community-born programs are regrowing the city, raising up the residents and entire neighborhoods. Urban beekeeping happens to be one of those solutions forging a new path. Nicole Lindsay and Timothy Paul Jackson of Detroit Hives are generating a lot of buzz by activating vacant lots in the inner city and turning those spaces into urban bee farms, and doing so in a way that uplifts long-term residents and doesn't lend to furthering gentrification. Through their conservation and awareness efforts, educational programs, and health-based initiatives, Detroit Hives is creating a safe home for bees and the community to live, feed, and thrive. Nicole and Timothy's inspiring story of community restoration and greening is one that can be cross-pollinated throughout the United States and beyond. Thank you for tuning into Revitalizing Detroit, One Hive at a Time. I am your host, Jessica Aldridge, and it is my honor to welcome our guests, Timothy Paul Jackson and Nicole Lindsay, co-founders and co-executive directors of Detroit Hives. Welcome to Eco Justice Radio.
Thank you, both of you, for being on the show today, Timothy and Nicole.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Like I said, you're the founders of Detroit Hives, an organization that's working to create sustainable communities and bee populations by transforming vacant lots into educational apiaries. And before we get into the great work of Detroit Hives and the cross-pollination connection between the bees and the community, let's get to know the bees, these amazing little community-oriented insects that are pollinating our food and our environment. Why are they so crucial to our global ecosystem? And what is happening to our bee populations around the world?
Right. Very good question. I'm glad that you asked that. So pollinators like honeybees, beetles, ants, even wasps, they're responsible for our food systems. They help pollinate 3/4 of the foods that we eat today. So without pollinators like honeybees, we wouldn't have any of our apples, our favorite foods that we like to visit and purchase at the grocery store today. We pretty much have corn and bean, potato chips and
soy
and junk food
and wheat.
So it plays a huge impact on our nutrition. And as we continue to save the bees, we're working to save ourselves. We're working to find healthier choices for food as well. So it's really important to have pollinators, you know, cross-pollinate our fruits and vegetables.
And what's happening to those populations, those bee populations around the world? Because from what I hear, they're declining, correct?
Right. There's been many studies and some proven facts where there's been a decline in bees. Many have contributed this decline to chemicals and pesticides and herbicides. But the real number one threat to our pollinators and insects have been a loss of habitat, deforestation. Many of our insects have been displaced due to roads, highways, and communities. But here in Michigan, Detroit is considered, a greenway. We have so much abandoned or vacant lots that has been boosting native bee populations. In fact, many universities, such as University of Michigan and Michigan State University, have conducted studies where they said vacant lots have been helping boost native bee populations, and bee populations are higher in urban cities like Detroit. In fact, there has been a study with the USDA in 2018 that said there's been an increase in the United States.
And people are probably thinking native urban areas. Pretty much organic. So nobody's spraying chemicals or pesticides, insecticides, range of tons of native flowers that are thriving here in the city, and nobody's spraying any chemicals on them.
That's right. What Nicole mentioned is that we're pretty much, the vacant lots are creating an ecological balance. There's biodiversity, where there's an environment that supports all living things, not just our native bees, in which Michigan is home to 467 native bee species, but also our honeybee populations are thriving off our vacant lots as well. So it creates an ecological balance for not only just honeybees, native bees, but also fowls, pheasants, and many other different types of insects and wildlife, even deers.
I want to talk about those vacant lots for a second. Loss is one that shares a unique similarity to Detroit, and according to the two, has decreased by 61% since 1950. How are these struggles similar between like the beehive or the bee population decreasing and what's happening in Detroit? And for those of our listeners, can you expand upon what's been happening in the community and why there is this influx of vacant properties and lots?
Yeah, I will kind of, we like to associate everything with bees and people. We call it beeple. Mm-hmm. And as you may have heard, there's been an issue with honeybee populations, what we call CCD, colony collapse disorder. And for those that may not know what CCD or colony collapse disorder is, it's where colonies, honeybee colonies, are packing their bags, they're getting up, and they're leaving. They're leaving the environment they're in. And it's, the reason why they're leaving is because it's not conducive for them. It's not a thriving environment. It may be an environment that's filled with chemicals, parasites, or just maybe something that is in an area that's not, you know, beneficial towards them.
But also a loss of habitat as well.
Also, a loss of habitat, lack of resources. The same thing that's been happening to our residents of the city of Detroit. It's pretty much considered the same thing. I would say like the same thing with CCD. When you have lack of resources, when you have lots of crime, when you have the unemployment rate, when you have other resources in other cities or other states, some families have packed up their bags and they're leaving. When you have a government or a city that's lacking, like I said, opportunities, residents are looking for other resources. So many residents have left. Many residents have lost their jobs due to lack of resources. And some had to relocate for better opportunities.
So we saw a lot of people moving out to the suburbs.
Moving out of state. Like I said, they had other jobs that was available for them. Many resources have left. When you have a lack of habitat, you have a lack of community. Many residents have departed. So you lose a lack of community in some of these neighborhoods.
And saying that, what inspired you to start this organization, Detroit Hives? What is it that you do with Detroit Hives? And how did you get turned on to the bees?
Very good question. So there was a lot of things happening, I would say, up until 2016 in the city of Detroit. We've seen a lot of revitalization. We've seen tons of companies coming back to restore the downtown area and rebuild that name of that classy name of Detroit. There were so many media outlets putting out a lot of stuff about their city as far as the vacant lots, the abandoned lots, the crime rates, and it wasn't being labeled as the place to be. It wasn't the place to be, according to media. But there were many people trying to change that efforts and change that narrative. However, we felt like our inner city communities was being left out of that story. Many people, when they traveled to Detroit, they mainly visited downtown, the downtown tourist attracted area. Very few people would visit the inner city neighborhoods, less likely visit the people that resided within those neighborhoods. So I and Nicole wanted to find a way to change that narrative. We wanted to find a way, how do we change the narrative of what people think about the inner city's communities, but also the people that resided with them? And we came across an article that same summer of 2016, where it was a call to action for the city of Detroit. They were looking for neighbors and residents just like myself and Nicole. They were looking for nonprofit organizations and community block club associations to buy back some of the vacant lots that they had here in the city of Detroit. See, at that time, the city of Detroit currently had 90,000 vacant lots. And these vacant lots were causing issues in our community, issues around blight, crime, just not safe for children to walk up and down these neighborhoods, mental health issues, public health issues, but also overall lowering the value of quality of life for our residents in our neighborhood. So with that being said, we saw this as an opportunity to give back. Once again, we wanted to find a way to change the narrative, but we knew in order to do so, we had to create an idea that was out the box, an idea that no one has ever heard of, an idea that would inspire and spark minds. So originally, we thought about a peacock farm in place of a vacant lot. We thought it'd be a cool, unique idea. No one's ever seen a peacock farm in the city of Detroit, nor do they expect to see a peacock farm in the city of Detroit. This would be a cool project where local students or local schools can come learn everything about a peacock and can feed a peacock. We figure a peacock is low maintenance, it can survive all year round. And then with all this so much vacant lots, it'd be a great space for some of these communities to learn about peacocks. We still want to do that project, but right now we still focus on one vacant lot project at a time. In addition to that, we thought about our urban campsite, a place where we can register with Airbnb, find ways to drive economic mobility in our community, but also find ways where people outside of the urban setting can connect with residents in the city of Detroit. And then lastly, of course, what's been done before, our urban garden, a place where we can address the issue of food insecurity in our neighborhood. All of these were great ideas. We had them on our vision board. We would think about them. But in actuality, we go back to our day-to-day operations, whether it's me and Fatari in advertising or her in customer service work. But things got personal around the December of 2016. I suffered with a really bad cough and cold that I tried to get rid of, and it was not working. I tried home remedies. I tried over-the-counter medication, and I threw in the towel to go see a doctor, whereby I was placed on antibiotics, and I was still dealing with my cough and cold that lasted well over 2 months. I mistakenly, and I do mean I did come by mistake across the powers of local raw honey. I wasn't looking for it. I went into a local convenience store in Ferndale, Michigan, and I had this really bad cough that was so recognizable. I would cough like almost every 3 seconds that the store owner recognized it. And when I walked into the store, the owner said, young man, you should try some of our local raw honey. It can help with that cough and cold that you have. As soon as he said that, I laughed at him. I'm like, man, that ain't going to work. Let's try X, Y, and Z, and honey ain't going to do it. He said, this honey is not like most honeys. It's local, it's raw, and I purchased it from a beekeeper. And he caught me by surprise because I'd never heard of the words local raw honey, and I for sure never bought anything from a beekeeper. I don't know a beekeeper. I just sometimes see on the National Geographic, and it was just a distant separation from me. Not in my walk life, never seen one ever or heard of them. You know, so I asked him, what's so special about local raw honey? He gave me this really long rundown on how honeybees create immunotherapy through their product, how they visit our local flower spores for nectar and pollen. And sometimes that pollen help alleviate our allergies. But in addition to that, he talked about the wildflowers. That's where the real health benefit is located. And the nectar from the wildflowers has so many great benefits to it, from things like dandelions and clovers. And when he mentioned dandelions, I said, you mean them things that's always on our vacant lots that we see, that we always spray and try to get rid of? He said, that's medicinal, that's healing. He said, yes, it's highly medicinal. And it has so many health benefits. And honeybees collect that nectar from there and they make honey out of it. So that caught me, that caught my attention. He sold me on the product. From there, I began to consume the local raw honey morning, noon, and night. I would have 3 teaspoons in the morning, afternoon, and evening. And after that third week, my cough and cold had went away. From there, I began just to dive in and learn more about this local raw honey because I had so much of it left over. I discovered that it's great if you're pre-diabetic or if you're dealing with diabetes. That really caught my attention because I was looking for ways to eliminate white sugar or artificial sweeteners from my diet. And I learned that if I consume local raw honey, it was safe to consume and it won't spike my blood sugar. In addition to that, I learned that honey serves as being topical, meaning that you can place honey on your, on the top layer of your skin, and it can treat any type of ailment like a scar, a cut, or a burn, or dealing with eczema. On top of that, I learned that honey never expires. It never gets old. So you're talking about a product that works just like a Swiss Army knife. It's a tool. You can open it up, and it has so many different resources. It never expires. It tastes good. It serves as a cough remedy. You can place it in your hair. You can place it and use it as a Band-Aid. Just like many other people, I just wanted more of it. I began to buy so much of this local raw honey that, unfortunately, I bought all they had at the store. Nicole began to see my interest in learning more about honey, began to learn more about honeybees, and I began to learn where I could buy more local raw honey. She made a simple suggestion that how about we transform a vacant lot into a bee farm? From there, as so ridiculous as that sound, I said, let's go for it. Let's do it. So from there, we pollinated the idea of Detroit Hives, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization working to create sustainable communities, not only for pollinators, but for people as well, by transforming vacant lots into educational apiaries and or pollinator habitats. Currently, we exist in 17 locations and we're managing 47 honeybee hives in the city of Detroit, while also working to build pollinator habitats for our native bees. Through our Bee to Change educational program, we've exposed over 2,500 students to the importance of bee conservation.
Yeah, I want to get to those programs in a moment. You know, after we come back from our break here in a second, we got about 4 minutes before the break. You said that you had how many hives currently? And then what is your goal? Like, how many hives do you want, or that are you looking at developing in Detroit?
Very good question. So, yes, currently we exist in 17 locations. These locations are by way of buying back vacant lots from the city of Detroit or Detroit Land Bank. Also, we partner with local schools to expand our mission. And then lastly, we partner with urban gardens to help expand our mission. So not all of our sites are vacant lots. Once again, we partner with local schools or also community gardens.
Or community organizations.
Community organizations, absolutely. Now, the second question was, remind me one more time. It was a two-part.
How do you want to expand? Like, do you have this goal?
Yes.
How many
hives out there? Originally we had a goal of installing 200 hives by the year 2020. And boy, have things changed since then. I think right now we've really changed and made a pivot from hosting over 200 hives to working to create bee diversity and inclusion. And what we mean by that is that we're working to create ecological balance to support native bees and non-native bees. Now, unfortunately, honeybees, they are a non-native bee species. They're introduced species to this region. They're not from here. And sometimes too many hives can somewhat make it a little bit, quite a bit challenging for our native bees if there isn't enough habitat or resources for them. So until we can create more resources for our native bees and honeybees, somewhere around our limit is between 50 to 60, it will be our new goal. And just like I said, as we work to host honeybee hives, we're also working to create pollinator habitats.
Nicole, you had mentioned at the top of the show the importance to the ecology that beehives and bees have. Why are bees so important to urban landscapes in major metropolitan areas? I think most people think of them as like pollinating farms, but why is it so important to metropolitan areas?
They're great for urban areas, especially for like cities similar to Detroit. So So with Detroit having so many vacant lots and lands, there's an opportunity for people to activate those spaces by turning them into urban farms, or a lot of people turning into gardens. There are low cost, sustainable calls that they can do for with those properties. And so with people creating so many little farms, gardens, those are great to help pollinate those fruits and vegetables and trees. Also, we're creating habitats for them. So as you know, Detroit is not going to have over 75,000 vacant lots for too long. So what we're doing is making sure that we're reserving these spaces when we buy back land from the city, that we're reserving these spaces for our native bees, this ecosystem that involves our insects. So I always say we're kind of like the little honeybees has always been like our little gateway books learning about other insects. So if you see that there's a decline with our honeybees, you have to know that there are going to be a decline with other insects. They're important to our earth as with anything else. So when you think about rebuilding your community, you don't want to displace them. So we can make sure that we reserve these spaces for them. And people have to keep that in mind, too. When you're developing, green spaces is great for boosting your mental morale. So you need those spaces to kind of like alleviate stress.
Such a great
If reminder. I can add a few things to that, you know, with urban projects, creates opportunities for our youth. Also creating jobs in addition to that education based from. They don't know that there's a process. There's a harvesting mm-hmm. season. So really understanding where food comes from. But lastly, really what's really important, the issue with food insecurity, organic food. We have restaurants. So by being a partner with urban gardens, issue with food insecurity.
Yeah, and we're going to get back to that. We have to take a break now, but we're going to get back to that in the second half here, because that is definitely a conversation we want to have. So hold on, y'all, and we'll go to break.
Hey, listeners, quick break here. We hope that you are enjoying Eco Justice Radio. You're listening to Revitalizing Detroit, One Hive at a Time, with host Jessica Aldrich, myself, and our guest Timothy Paul Jackson. And
expanding, what is your role in the community?
Well, create a stronger sense of community.
It could be labeled this area or this access report.
How about honeybees foraging? They come through sweet spots by food or just a 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. To be able to get fresh organic food. So once again, a lot of our areas are suffering from our lack of access to fresh organic food sources or good choices or opportunities to find food. But we are exposed to a lot of unhealthy choices, whether it be gas stations to find food choices or liquor stores or fast food restaurants. And what's great about being able to provide these honeybee hives in urban gardens is that whenever you have honeybee hives paired with an urban garden, you're guaranteed to see an increase in your yield. That means whenever you have honeybees, you're going to see more food. Urban gardens help provide food security for our pollinators, and pollinators help provide food security for us.
But also having a very local source of honey. At the time when Tim was sick and the owner of the Ferndale store said, hey, it's up in Capac, Michigan, which is some hours away. You know, nobody wants to drive, like you said, hours looking for local raw honey. We wanted to make it extremely local by putting honey in our city.
Yeah, and he caught me on that word local because I never heard that part of Michigan. But I knew it was in Michigan, but I figured let's find a way to make honey extremely local.
And extremely accessible, too, because I think many of our listeners, accessible from a financial standpoint, because I think many of our listeners might think that honey is really expensive, so they don't buy honey due to that price. And so accessibility on affordability too, I'm assuming, is very important, especially in you know, where we have food deserts.
Absolutely.
How do you see beekeeping playing a role in the restoring of existing urban communities and in a way that doesn't lend to further gentrification, but instead uplifts the long-term residents?
Beekeeping is not new to our culture. It's not new to people of color in our communities. It's just this, you think about individuals, great, great individuals, Dr. George Washington Carver, Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson, Dr. Charles Henry Turner. All knew that they were beekeepers, but they were all beekeepers, and they all played a huge role in environmental science. Dr. George Washington Carver, they had an apiary at Tuskegee Normal, which is now known as Tuskegee State University, had to learn beekeeping. It was a part of their curriculum. This is a historically Black college. You have Dr. Charles Henry Turner. He was the first scientist as well as first African-American to discover that honeybees can see shape and color. It's just when it comes to beekeeping and bees and insects connect nature and beekeeping. But right now, Detroit Hives and many other beekeepers alike are working to connect with that history and reconnect people back to the land.
That we received today. A lot of things for our listeners to check out, support Detroit Hives, and then also, you know, do your part in helping to feed and protect these pollinators. And I just want to thank you. Thank you both, Timothy and Nicole, for being here today, the co-founder and co-bee.
Thank you to our listeners.